You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from Pastor Martin Gunter.
Well, good morning. That was a great worship time, eh? I kind of felt like just telling Sheldon, like, keep going, like, this is great. So I really appreciate you, worship team and tech people. Thank you so much for all you do here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Martin Gunter. I'm one of the pastors here at Southland. And I just want to welcome everybody here this morning. If you're visiting here the first time, welcome here. And all of you joining us online, including, of course, Pastor Stefan and Louise. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us. So I'm excited this morning to talk to you about something specific, but before we get into it, I would like to read you guys a passage of scripture. And but something I've really enjoyed doing is just taking a chunk of scripture as we read through it, go through it, and then talk about it. So 1 Corinthians 12 through 27 says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of a body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For if one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, we were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If a foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make any less a part of a body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make any sense to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would it make sense of hearing? If a whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as is, God arranged the members of a body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor can the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of a body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of a body that we think less honorable we bestow of a greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all together, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." I love this passage because it talks about the many different parts of the body and the many different talents that we bring towards it. And I love it that we can't just have one piece of it. The question really comes into play of, like, if we look at the body, which part are we? Am I an elbow? Am I a foot? And if I am a foot, do I even have all my digits? So how did God put us together, and what is my role in the church? And I love the example of even seeing the worship team this morning. It's incredible how they play up there, right? But it won't sound nearly as good if every single person in the worship team was a drummer. We would not be able to sing the song. We'll hear an awesome beat, but there'd be no worship. So we have singers, we have drummers, we have bass player, we have keyboard, and not to mention the amazing sound people back there, who mixes the sound and brings it together and gives us lyrics, so everybody works together. And this is something innately that's inside of all of us. We love working together, and especially in the church as well. God gave each one of us talents and abilities and made us to be a part of a body as we work together. But the question is, what is my part? And once you know your part, what's my next step and what am I supposed to do? So I'm gonna try and simplify this a little bit this morning. But let me ask you a question, and it's not a trick question, I promise. That's for the second service. I'll be nice to you guys, but the second service, all the trick questions, okay? But who in here wish to grow in their prayer life? Can you raise your hand? Okay, quite a few of you. Who here wishes to grow in your understanding scripture? Raise your hand. Beautiful, okay. Who here wants to walk in a closer walk of Jesus? Raise your hand. Perfect. So I bet you we all come from different backgrounds, different personalities, so many differences, but yet we unite on this thing about we want to walk closer to Jesus. We want to be able to pray better. We want to be able to understand scripture better. So we've all come together under that banner of, like, Lord, how do we do this? And we can go read a book on it, we can go listen to podcasts, and there's definitely wisdom we can glean from it. But I want to go back to an ancient way, and it's not nothing new, it's not going to surprise you, but I want to talk about discipleship. And when we say discipleship, I totally understand it's a very broad term, and there's many different aspects we can go into discipleship, but the area I want to focus in this morning with you all is the relationship component that we do in discipleship. And I have no doubt, and you guys know this here at church, what do we always say? Love God, love people, be discipled, make disciples. So we will talk about discipleship many, many more times. And I'm pretty sure there'll be a message series on this yet again and again and again. And we have seminars on it too. But I really want to focus on, I said, just one piece of it, which again, I said, is the relationship part of discipleship and how we do that. So Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And I love that passage about how do we spur one another on to do good? How do we spur one another on to go in a closer relationship with Jesus? So one method that I like, and it's a teaching method that I try to employ with my kids and at church as much as I can, it's called I do, we do, you do. And you've probably heard from a stage here before as well, but what I really like about the teaching strategy of I do, we do, you do, it gives us steps in how we can walk towards a goal. Because many times, and it is easy to say, well, what you need is discipleship. Okay, how do I get discipled? What are my steps in this, and how do I even start this? So being discipled and making disciples, we can take the steps I do, we do, you do. So I'll give you an example of this. When I say I do, you can think of a teacher teaching their students, okay? So the I do method is the teacher is teaching the student, the teacher is doing all the work. The teacher is teaching and saying everything. All the student has to do is listen and learn and watch. So, and that's the first step we're gonna look at. The second one is the we do step. And now this is where the teacher and student become beside each other, and the teacher will do a part, and now see how the student does it. And they work together. So this is when we practice together in any skill that we're trying to do. And then the last step is the you do, and this is essentially where now the student has learned everything, can go forward and go and engage. They can go and they can do this. So being discipled and make disciples follows a very similar trend to that, where it is we learn, we watch other people do this, now we practice together, and after practicing together, we can go now and we can engage our culture and engage with other people here. So I like John 13 talks a little bit about this as well. It says this, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." So we see this example in John where Jesus is saying, mimic me. What you've seen me do, you've watched me, you've learned. Now we've practiced this together. We've washed each other's feet. Now he says, go and do. So we see those three steps in there already that God is asking us to do. So again, just to simplify this, we see these three steps everywhere we go. We just never really define it. And I'll give you a very simple example I think most of you can understand is parenthood and children, right? So if you're a parent in here, you are doing the I do step a lot, especially when your kids are young, right? They can't do much, so you're doing all the I do steps, right? And your kids are watching and learning. Hopefully they're watching and learning. And eventually you're doing it with them. So instead of tying their shoelaces all the time, now you're gonna do it with them, teach them how to tie their shoelaces. And again, with the grace of a good Lord, one day they can go do you do and move out and be successful adults, right? So that's an example we see already just in our normal lives of I do, we do, you do, is with parenting. But again, it's not that different when you look at the church and we apply this model to the church. Because many of us are children Christians, right? We're kid Christians. We are young in our faith. We have our diapers on and we're gonna go save people for Jesus, right? But we don't know the steps. because we are so excited to do it, but we never had that we do step. We just kind of went to the last one. So I want to hopefully this morning kind of show you a bit more about that. And the main verse that kind of really inspired the message is out of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And it says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I love this verse because, again, when we are children, we look at our parents, right? And we follow our parents and we see what they do. And as we grow older, we learn from other people. Why? Our parents don't know everything, right? So I will learn from others as well. And that's what I love about this passage is Paul saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He's not being arrogant. He's not saying, look at me, as I follow Christ, that's how you should follow Christ. No, as he's following Christ, he is understanding pieces about Jesus that other people don't see. And we can follow that. And we can see that around other people as well. So as we go this, and it's so, again, easy in our culture that we can just look at something else that's not people around us. We can look at books and podcasts and learn from there. And I do as well. But can I just give you a quick caution on that from Matthew 7? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. And again, I'm not against books or podcasts. I read books. I listen to podcasts. But I always have in the back of my mind, I cannot see their fruit. I do not know what these people are like in real life. What I love about our church and being a body and the many different members coming together, you know what I love about it? I can see your fruit, and 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 you guys can see my fruit. So therefore, by their fruit, I know I can follow and I can see what is going on in their lives. And this is something, again, that I think it helps us so much more when we follow somebody, we can see by the fruit they're bearing how they're going to do it with Jesus. So we're going to move on and we're going to go to our first step here. And we're going to apply this a little bit to discipleship and show you guys how this will work. And the first step, again, is I do. So with I do, this is body life. We're going to watch and we're going to learn, right? So if you're new into the church and you're coming in here, this is, you're going to do lots of I do steps, right? It is somebody else is going to be doing it and we're going to be watching and learning from them. Now, body life, some of you might know the term, but if you don't know the term, it's just a term we give to people getting connected, attending church, creating belonging, and they're involved in church. And that's what body life is. So I want to tell this story from a point of view where I entered the church, because as I was prepping the message, I'm like, Lord, how can I show examples to this? And God just kind of reminded me, you know, you were there one day. I'm like, that's right. So I'm going to tell you guys how it happened with me and kind of show you how I walked through these steps and different phases. So when I came to the church in 2004, I'm not going to go into details with this, but I came in the church, black leather trench coat, purple hair, colorful shirts, and I was alone. My parents were here, but that's it. I did not know a single person in the church. And I just want to say, church, thank you. Thank you for accepting me the way I was. Thank you for not kicking me out the door because of how I looked, and probably smelled, but for how I looked when I came in here. You already practiced each one or each one, and no one stands alone, back in 2004. And when I came into the church, you accepted me as I am. So when I came into the church body here, I found myself with no friends, nobody, so I just started attending church. And what did I do? I watched. I watched and I learned. I watched as Pastor Ray came up and he preached. I watched as Pastor Chris Puach and many others came up and they preached. I watched and I learned, and eventually I got to meet people as I went to worship nights and those things and got to know others. So I had a close group of friends that I met, and I won't mention the names over the mic because, you know, privacy and all those things, but we were quite tight together. And we had a lot of fun together. So, like I said, I'll keep him private. Didn't say anything about the big screen behind me, but there were five of us, and one of them, Noel Holmes, is not on there because I couldn't find an appropriate picture of the five of us I can show in church. So, but you know what? We love Jesus, and we were baby Christians. We had our diapers on, and just so you guys know, if there's any question ever, the ringleader was Vashon Penner, and he's the one we looked up to, and we followed him, and whenever he said, we said yes. Also because he was the only married one in the group of some maturity. So we came together, and this is the first group of friends I had. And you know what I really appreciate about them? We went to hearing God together, and we watched and we learned. We went to things like a set free, and we're like, oh, what's a set free? Back then it's called Encounter Gods. We went there together, and we learned to confess our sins. Later on, Pastor Ray did the Empower. And we went to the Empower, and we learned how to use the gifts of the Spirit. We learned, oh, there's many more ways God can use the talents and abilities given to us. And we went to prayer summits. And we went to something called Saturates back in the day, where we learned how to worship. So these are all things I could do with my friends, and we had lots of fun hanging out together afterwards and between the events. But of those precious moments when we would hang out, and we would say, what did you think when Pastor Ray said blankety blank at the prayer summit? Or the hearing God when Pastor Ray was teaching us, how do I apply this in my life? It was body life we had together with this group of men. Well, boys back then, sorry, this is a long time ago. But as we did this together, we could learn together, and we all watched and learned as Pastor Ray was up here teaching us. And we took notes, and was it perfect? No, it wasn't. But we came lots together to pray, and the number one prayer request we had was for spouses, was for wives. Because all of us were single except for Sean, so we all prayed desperately for wives. But you know what? As we would step out of place too, we could actually keep each other accountable. I love Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So was it perfect in what we did? No. And I'll give you guys two quick stories. One of them, one of the five of us, wasn't attending prayer summits as much as normal or coming to church services every weekend. And we found that completely unacceptable. Clearly, he's walking away from Jesus and he needs a big intervention. So what are we going to do about this? So it was simple. We learned about prayer and fasting. We're doing prayer and fasting month here, and we're all engaged in it. And we got together and we said, you know what? We're going to pray for him. So this is what we did. You guys know that passage? I can't remember where it is now, but where Paul sent the handkerchiefs, right? They touched Paul and stuff, and they prayed for healing. People were healed through the handkerchiefs. So we took that passage and we said, okay, we can't give him a handkerchief because he's going to be suspicious. But what we can do is he likes Timbits. So after a prayer summit, we put Timbits on a table and we laid hands on the Timbits. No handkerchiefs, nothing, just sweaty palms on the Timbits. And we prayed for these Timbits. And there's going to be a blessing on the Timbits, and this man will be changed through eating the Timbits. So we prayed for the Timbits because Galatians 6:2 says, right? Carry each other's burdens. So that's what we did. We're going to carry this burden. So we took the Timbits, we went to his house, and we're like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he's like, good. Here's some Timbits. Oh, thanks. And he's eating them, and inside we're like, you are eating blessings, and you have no idea. And then after a while, he's like, guys, I'm stuffed. No, keep eating. Good. This did not produce any fruit, okay? Nothing changed. So we're into phase two of a plan, which is fasting. So we decided we're going to fast as a group 3 days, no food, just water. So we fasted, we decided to get together at Vashon's house to pray together as a group, and we're going to break our fast with a feast. And that's a good way to do it, right, with a feast. So we prayed, we fasted, and then all of a sudden, I can't remember who had the idea, but said, you know what, guys, let's go to Pizza Hut. They have an unlimited buffet. That's a great way to break a fast, right? And we all said, that's a great idea. We're all poor. So we went to Pizza Hut, and let me just tell you, if you're going to break a fast on an empty stomach with grease-filled bread and grease-filled pepperoni, Let's just say our prayer and fasting turn into prayer of healing for one another for the rest of the night, because it did not go well for us. So we were all in the I do stage. We were watching, we were learning what to do, what not to do. But you know what? I wouldn't trade those days for anything else, right? And again, we were in this together, and it was absolutely incredible to see how God worked. But you know, there's a passage in Mark 2, and this is not biblical. I just love a story. But I think each one of us here can use four crazy friends. I think four crazy friends is something that can really help us as we do body life together. And listen to Mark 2 here. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard what he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and lowered the man that was laying on. Then Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. What awesome friendship. And can you only imagine back then, right, these five friends coming together, and one of them is paralyzed. They know of Jesus coming, and they're saying, guys, let's take our friend to Jesus. Oh no, too many people, there's too many crowds. What are we gonna do? And then one of them says, I have an idea. I got a shovel for my birthday. We can make a hole. And then the rest of them just said, let's go, let's do this. And this is something I love about body life, when we come together and we say, Jesus, would you lead us together? Do we do it perfectly? No. Do we mess up? Many, many times. But looking back on this, this is a beautiful story again of how we can grow in discipleship together. And Matthew 18:20 says, for when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So again, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So I did follow the example of Christ as Pastor Ray was teaching us. He's the example I looked up to, but I also looked up to the example of Vishon Penner, where I said it's kind of a ringleader, and what I mean is, he was married, and he was already a small group leader at the time. And he was walking in a maturity that was far above mine, and I could follow him and see how he was following Christ, and I can start mimicking that in my life. So as we're doing this, and we're part of a body, and we're doing this, and we're watching and we're learning, this takes us to the next natural step, which is we do, right? So we do now is being discipled and doing this together. And this is now where I practice with somebody else. And during this stage, I was part of a small group. We were not all in the same small group, but like I said, Vishon was already leading a small group. But I, in my small group, the leader there said, hey, do you want more responsibility? And I said, absolutely, I want more responsibility. And he says, how about you come earlier? And we sit down and I will prep for the night together. So I came earlier to the small group meetings, we'd sit together, and he would say, this is how we're gonna lead this part. Do you mind taking this small session? And he showed me step by step how we can practice discipleship together. So we met earlier together, but during this time where I was becoming a small group leader and learning and being discipled in there, the church hired me. And the church hired me not because of my spirituality, they hired me because they needed an IT guy. So I came on staff as an IT guy, and I saw more opportunities here where I can grow closer and being discipled, because I had a hunger inside being part of a body, seeing what it's like, the growth I experienced with my friends as we walked in this, but I knew I had more steps to take in my journey, just not sure what they are and how this will work. So what happened is my journey wasn't extravagant, but after a while I became a small group leader. And I took exactly what I learned with my leader, I applied it to my life, because again, as I follow Christ, right, he was following Christ, and I was looking at him and mimicking what he was doing. So we got to this place where I was now a small group leader, I was part of staff, and as we dig into our belief systems, I realized that my belief system wasn't lining up 100% with the church. There was some stuff I was doing that I was questioning. I wasn't sure why I was doing it, and I wasn't sure again where to go with it. Because Pastor Ray, who I was following, is a busy guy. I can't just go to Pastor Ray and say, Pastor Ray, can I have 2 hours of your time as I try to explain to you what I don't understand myself? What do I do with this? So I took it to prayer. My small group leader couldn't help me, and I took it to prayer again. And while I was taking it to prayer, this was on a Tuesday morning. Back then already, the staff would get together once a month. We'd get together for a couple of hours, and we would pray. And during that time, we would typically pray for one another in groups of three or four, and we still practice that today here. This is something we just did the other week. But back then, as I was new on staff, they say we're going to get into groups of three, and I looked around to see where all the non-pastors are. Because let's be honest, pastors are strange and weird people, especially if you just share about devotions, right? So I want to be with normal people, so I was avoiding all the pastors. And as I'm sitting there looking around, I felt a hand on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was Pastor Chris Pugh. And he said, hello. And I'm like, great. And he says, do you have something to pray with? I'm like, no, I don't. Come with me. There's somebody already waiting, and we'll make it group of three. And I thought to myself, perfect. It's Pastor Ray and me and another normal guy, and we'll pray with Pastor Chris Pugh. We walked up, and as the person who was looking the other way turned around, it was Ray Menno Dirksen. And I sat there sandwiched between Pastor Ray Dirksen, Pastor Chris Pugh, and the brand new IT guy. And we're sharing about devotions and what God is saying to us. So Pastor Chris and Pastor Ray shared for about 2 hours. Everything they shared the next morning, you know, the Greek, the Hebrew, as it aligned with one another, and they built on top of one another. And I sat and they're just completely overwhelmed about the journey they're on. And they said, so, Martin, what stood out to you in your devotions? Jesus loves me. For this I know, because the Bible told me so. And I didn't know what I said, but I was so overwhelmed by this. But I remember sharing something simple with them, and instead of them looking at me saying, oh, you're such a kid Christian, what they did is they saw where I came from, they knew my journey, and they said, you have read your Bible every day? I'm like, yeah. They said, good job. That is incredible. Tell us more. Where did you read? How much do you read? And then they encouraged me in my devotional walk right there. They were spurring me on, and get this, I had opportunity to ask questions. Because again, my faith, as is not lining up, I could start asking questions. And they were all too happy to help me. So at that stage, Pastor Chris Pugh realized, and he said, hey, do you want to meet sometime and we can talk through this? And I'm like, please. So then Pastor Chris Pugh came beside me, and he said, let's talk through some of these belief systems you have. And he walked me through those. So again, it was coming and discipling together because he knew where I was at. So to give you guys an illustration, I love ABCs when it comes to illustrations, and you guys have probably seen this before here, but all of us start somewhere on the alphabet, okay? None of us start in the same place. Well, maybe a few of us do have the same spot, but we're all in different spots overall here. So if we have a guy, I'm gonna make it a yellow guy there, like a yellow circle, starts in B, and another one's a blue guy who starts in G. Now, the yellow guy in blue, the yellow guy starts in B, he maybe had a life of addiction, a broken home, doesn't understand what love is, suffered trauma, so he's starting a lot earlier in the alphabet. Whereas the guy in blue starts at G, had a loving Christian home, grew up in a place where he was loved, grew up in a place where he was understood, and so he starts further down the line. Now, as we go through growth and knowing where people are at, person B, let's say he grows all the way to F, okay? And that's his growth point, but he hasn't even caught up yet where the guy in blue has started, right? Like he has not even reached that yet. And then the guy in blue looks around and says, man, I have my stuff together. And because he's a Christian, he'll do a little bit of growth, and maybe he grows to H, right? Who here now, as I ask my question to you, has grown more? Has the guy in yellow grown more, or the guy in blue grown more? Yellow. Right? God, look at the talent stuff we've given too. God doesn't look how far we've come, far make it down the alphabet. God cares how many steps we've taken. And again, me meeting with Pastor Ray and Pastor Chris there, they looked at the steps I've taken from where I've come from, and they could rejoice in that. And they could disciple me exactly from where I was. 2 Peter 1 says this, for this very reason, make every effort We have to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a lot of steps in there that we can take. It's not just one growth step and I'm done. All of us here, regardless of where you started on the ABCs, we can all take many, many steps of growth in here. So in this period of time too, I was growing my beliefs, but I had one point of failure, one point of shame, but I did not share with a single person. My guys, a little bit, but even there, I was so petrified to share it because of how they would view me. And that was the area of purity. I struggled so much with pornography that it was a place where I would fail constantly. And I tried to do many things in it, and I kept failing. And in secret, I would try to get books on it and hide the book and go home and read it and try to understand and how I can fix myself, but I could not do it. So again, I thought to myself, you know what? I prayed and God brought me somebody that helped me in my belief system. So I prayed again, Jesus, can you help me? And you know what God did? He brought an obsessed cat lover across my path who had issues of purity too. And the two of us could at least sit down and he could start discipling me because he had victory in those areas already. So now I was being discipled. And again, as I follow Christ, I followed the example of Pastor Ray with everything he taught here, Pastor Chris Puach as I met with him, and with Pastor Stefan, who wasn't a pastor of a stage, but he was just here volunteering, and he was here just new on staff as well. And it's there I could learn from him, and he could show me the steps, and we could do it together. And if you can just have a moment, if you are struggling with purity, don't do it alone. I know it is such a hard thing to say and to admit to somebody else, but please don't do this alone. Come talk to me. I totally understand how it feels and how when we struggle with purity and stuff and we look at pornography, we feel so dirty. And every time I say, stop it, it doesn't stop. And every time we look back on it, I'm so angry at myself. I'm like, Lord, why do I continue on doing this? We have to stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we support one another. Again, it's the whole we do step, and we come together, and we help one another. So if you're struggling in that, come talk to me afterwards. And just so you know, this fall, we will be doing more purity stuff again. I know in the past we've done this, and we will bring this back this fall again, so we will tackle that again. So up to this point, again, if you meet my friends, watching them, we watch and we learned. Now I'm practicing together with other people, and I'm practicing together with other small group leaders. And as I go on, now it's that next step. And that next and the last one is you do. How to go make disciples. And now this is where we go and we engage with other people around us. I love the parable in Matthew 25 with the talents. For it will be like a man going through a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. I'm just gonna give you guys a quick pause here. When he gave 5 talents, just so you know, a talent back then was almost the equivalent of $1 million today, okay, in our currency. A talent isn't a small amount. A talent was quite a bit. So to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 1 talent. 2 talents, another 1, to each according to his ability. So to each according to his ability, God gave, the servant here gave him talents. Then he went away. He received the 5 talents, went at once, and traded with them, and he made 5 more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set over you much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, I have only 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set over you much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you not scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I do not have sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and will be given into an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the utter darkness, that's a place where be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, sorry. There it is. Now, I know there's not much time left, and reading a parable like this, it's daunting, right? And it's like, Lord, but how do I use my talents, and what does this look like? Can I just sum this up for you in a different way and look at this parable in a different way? Instead of worrying about the one who doesn't do it, can I encourage you with 4 words? Give what you have. We would say sometimes, we're like, man, I see that person, and actually I saw like a Chris Puach, or I saw Vishon Penn, or I saw these other people I was following. I looked at them like, Lord, I can never measure up to that. They have so much talent, so much ability, and I don't. All I am is a South African farmer who has pornography issues, and at this stage too, as I went on my life, I didn't know what talents I could give. But reading through this, I want to encourage you, give what you have. Even if it's just one talent that God has given you, God can take that, use it, and multiply that over many areas. So remember in the beginning when I told you that me and my buddies, we prayed for spouses, we prayed for wives? Well, God answered that prayer, okay? And at this point, all of us got married, and I got married, and I was married to Andrea. I am married to Andrea. That sounded weird. I am married to Andrea. But at that stage, our marriage was a little bit rocky. I wasn't sure if I will be married to Andrea anymore. But I was in this place where, you know, I was like, Lord, how can you use me? And being married then too, being on staff, I was like, Lord, we have so much marriage issues. How can you use me? I don't have any talents to give. I don't have any talents to use. But you know what? God took the little talent I had, and he started using it in small groups. And he started using it in the ministries I volunteered in, when it was into tech and other places. The one place God did not multiply my talents is I got asked one day to play bass guitar up front. Never got asked again. So didn't use that talent, but God had other talents he started growing into me. So even though I was a foreigner who didn't understand English very well, I had addiction issues, I have marriage issues, God came and turned those marriage issues into a marriage ministry. He took the addiction issues I had and changed it into an addiction ministry. So the things I struggled in, and to this point, as I was watching and I was learning, as I was following others, as they followed Christ, all those things came together, learned from small groups, and we start making the addictions ministry, and we start making the marriage ministry. And now we can go forward and we can go help others. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And church, this is the part where we come into this too, and even on the marriage ministry we do now. So in all the failures that I had as a husband, and all the failures we had in our marriage, God came and put it together, and now we have a marriage ministry. And if you want to hear more about that, we'll have another marriage seminar coming up in a bit. And then you guys can come and hear for yourself. But in our marriage ministry too, we're starting growing this, and I remember one night I looked at Andrea and I said, man, I wish somebody was building into us. I wish we had mentors who would come beside us and help us in our marriage. And she looked at me and she said, don't feel sorry for yourself. Look at you, you're old. You're the one supposed to build into others. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I am getting old, right? So we're in a place now where we've been discipled. We've gone through the I do, we do steps, we're in the you do step now, and now it's up to us now to go and minister. It's up to us and go disciple. And it is very scary to do that. One day we went to a cousin's wedding, it's her cousin's wedding, and it's a Filipino wedding. And I saw something beautiful there that I want to incorporate more here, and it actually helped us to do the marriage ministry. But as they were doing it, and if I get the pronunciation wrong, please forgive me, But as we were up front, the pastor looked and turned, and he says, can I get all the ninongs and ninangs to stand up? And ninong and ninang is a term they use for mentors that help a couple and walk with a couple. So they had a couple of couples stand up, and then they would walk with the married couple. And I remember the pastor saying, if you have issues with finances, who do you go to? And they pointed towards the ninongs and the ninangs, because they knew that's where they get help and support. And I love how the Filipino culture has that naturally built in, and I think that's something we can learn from here. And taking that from their culture too, now currently today we have marriage mentors that come beside you as well and will help you in your marriage as we walk through this. But to steal something else from Pastor Stefan, I love his analogy of GPS. Because now, how do we go do this? How do I go and take that next step, whether it is with 100 talents or with 10 talents or with one talent, what do I do? And I want to give you a very simple way real quick here of how we can go and we can start ministering to others and take that next step. And just so you know, that next step very well might be in your family. This could be towards your kids or even your grandkids or even a friend. You're each one reach one. This is something where now it's for you do. You're going out to do this. These are some four easy steps you can do to do this. Okay, they're simple steps. They're not easy to do because it's scary to do them, but they're very simple steps that we can try. And the first step is this. How do I use my talents? And looking at the GPS analogy again, when I go to Winnipeg, and let's say I want to go to St. Vital or Polo Park, I know how to get to Polo Park, but you know what I do every time? I take my cell phone, I type into Google Maps, I'm going to Polo Park, because GPS knows where I am, knows where I'm going, knows what route I'm taking, knows if I'm walking or driving, but here's the thing it always tells me. It knows where construction is at, or it knows where the roads are too busy, and sometimes it will bypass me. And I remember this one time, too, I was at BDI. I love BDI. BDI is a great place to go to. And we were driving away from BDI, and I typed it into my GPS again, and the GPS had this weird long curve to go this way. And I thought to myself, well, that's dumb. I want to go this way. I don't want to go like this around. So I did not listen to my GPS, and I went forward. And when I recalculated, it was this big red strip because traffic wasn't moving. And I was stuck there for quite a while, right? So we see today with this smart technology that there is a way we can do this better, but we can do this as we are discipling others in our lives. So step number one, when we talk to someone, when we're discipling somebody else, when you're talking to somebody, first thing we do is we listen. This is probably the most important part. When we listen to somebody else, this is what we do. We get a start and we get a destination. Because when we listen to somebody, we can see where they're coming from and we can see where they need to go. And that's all you do is listen. God gave us how many ears? 2 ears, right? So you listen once with this ear, then you turn around, you ask him to repeat it, you listen with this ear, and after that, then you can speak, okay? So it's great for kids too. Kids, listen to your parents. Listen once, listen twice, then speak, okay? So we listen to get the start and destination. Step two is when we go now and we ask questions. So asking questions is a great way to see the path. Because as you're asking questions, you can say, oh, okay, how will we do this path here? Which way should you go? I know there's traffic here, you wanna avoid that. And you can ask why questions, you can ask how questions to this person, and you can actually direct them quite a bit through that. The third thing you wanna do is, you wanna give wisdom and not an opinion. And what I mean with that, I know it might be semantics when we say that, but when we say, I say give wisdom, not an opinion, don't give an opinion which is your advice that you're giving. But what you want to do is you want to say, this is godly advice. This is something I have learned by watching other people do. This is something I've seen in Scripture, okay? So I love giving wisdom, not an opinion of just simply a gut reaction, what I think should be done. And if you can't give wisdom or an opinion, a good opinion, take it to prayer, okay? You don't have to, but simply asking questions already makes people feel heard. And then the last one is this, is you intercede. Intercession is probably the most important part we can do in discipling others. We pray for those we help. And for me it is, the intercession to me is kind of like the signal of GPS, right? But as I'm driving, I see this blue arrow, and it keeps updating, it keeps updating. And what prayer does is, it's that intercession, it's that signal to see where am I at in my journey. Am I on the right path? Have I taken the right vehicle? Am I doing this correctly for what I need to do? And that's what intercession does, is when we pray and stay in touch with Him. John Scott has a quote, and I actually love his quote. He says, "The difference between discipling 1 to 1,000 people is very small, but the difference between discipling 0 to 1 person is very big." When I disciple 1 or 1,000 people, it's just on the talents God's given me or the platform God's given me to speak from. But the difference between 0 and 1 is so gigantic, because so many of us, we are afraid to take that step of discipleship because we don't know. When we say, go disciple, we think, how do I disciple? But it comes down to those easy steps. When we just sit there and we listen. And you don't have to be a speaker in waiting when you listen. You don't have to have a response. You can simply listen and say, can you give me clarity on that? Ask questions on it. But the difference between 0 and 1 is so big because we're all afraid of taking that next step. And my encouragement to you is, take a small step. Don't take a big step. Start with a friend, start with a family member. Because the nice thing about taking small steps, you can take the step back easily, okay? So take a small step forward in this. So in closing, I wanna say this, what is your next step? If we look at the I do's again, when you have the I do, maybe you just need to come here, watch and listen. And that is okay, that's where we all start. But you come here and you're like, man, I just need community. I need to get connected. Come talk to us. Come to the connection corner there. We would love to talk to you, love to get you connected. But just so you know, starting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the chapel, we're gonna do the Hearing God. And I would love to invite you there. Just come tell us you're showing up. And if you forget about it, still show up. I will print extra booklets, okay? Show up, come join us. Come join us as we fellowship together, as we talk about hearing God's voice. And this summer, we're gonna do a new course on purity called Sexual Integrity, which will last for 8 weeks, and more information will come on that. But maybe that is your next step, is simply to get a little bit more involved in watching and learning a little bit more about the church. Step number two, the we do's. So you're in here, you've been watching, you've been learning, you've been here for a while, but now it's that step of being discipled. Who is the person I'm gonna go with, right? And just like me, I couldn't go to Pastor Ray because he was lots of other stuff he was doing already, but maybe that's a small group leader. Church, we have awesome small group leaders. I love them. We have over 100 small group leaders. And can I just say thank you, small group leaders, for the time and the investment you put in. And if it wasn't for my small group leader, I would not be here, because that's the person who invested their time with me. I would encourage you, if you're in a small group, talk to your leader and say, can you disciple me? Can you help me? I wanna get involved. I wanna do this with you. Can I lead a session of the night? What can we do together in this? Teach me how to do this. And I trust you, my small group leaders would be very happy to help you out on that. But something else we can do too is this summer, I'm so excited summer's coming. I'm excited that we can go around and be outside, but a lot of times in summer, a lot of programs shut down in the church. But this year, we wanna do The Way, Grow Character, and The Way, Abide. So it'll be about 16 weeks, I think, but over summer, we're gonna run groups here at church. So over summer, if you're like, man, I wanna still be involved, I still wanna do something, I wanna disciple with others and learn with others, we're gonna do The Way in summer. And again, more announcements on that will be coming soon, you can hear more about it. And then the last one there, of course, is the You Do. And this is the scary one, right? So you've been here, you've watched, you've learned, you have been practicing with others, but now it's giving that yes. Now it's taking that next step. Now it's that, Lord, I wanna do this, but shame's holding me back, or inadequacy is holding you back, and I completely understand the inadequacy just, it's like a monster just holding you back, right? And you feel like you can't do anything. But again, let me encourage you with small steps. And again, if you have questions about this, can I encourage you to email me at smallgroupsofmyselfline.com, and the email's up there. And if you don't want to email, and email is scary, the Connection Corner. If you have any doubt, Connection Corner, okay? Come to Connection Corner. Eunice is always there. Us as pastors try to be there. Come talk to us. If you're saying, man, I feel the calling of God, I feel like I need to do something, but I don't know what it is, come talk to us. We will pray with you and we will seek this with you so you can take that next step. So church, follow me as I follow Christ. I've had the privilege of many people that followed Christ closely, and as they followed Christ, I could look at their example. I could mimic them in their prayers. I could understand as they were going through scripture, I could understand better because I could walk with them. So I want to encourage you with this. Whatever step you're in, wherever you're at with this, take that next step. If you're a gene in the alphabet, take that next step. And don't just sit stationary where you're at. So I was going to close with this and just pray for you guys. Holy Spirit, thank you so much that we can come to you and you can walk us step by step. Lord, I love it. We don't have to reach a certain level before you come to us and you give us that next step. But Holy Spirit, you meet us exactly where we're at. Lord, thank you so much that we can come to you just as we are, with one talent, 10 talents, 100 talents. But I ask, Holy Spirit, would you give us that next step we need to do? Can you show us what we need to do next in this? Holy Spirit, lay on our hearts, where do you want us to disciple? Or where can I be discipled? So thank you so much, Holy Spirit. You didn't abandon us, but you're leading us step by step as we ever move closer to you. I pray this in your name.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfland.com or download the Selfland Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.